Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
From London, England, where you would be amazed how few people were in the arrivals hall at Heathrow Airport when I flew in. Thanks, everybody, for clearing the place. This is a very special edition of the show this week. Of course, it's the nearing the end of the year, and so we relive the triumphs and tragedies, very few of the former, in the year just past. Our regular year-end feature, the year in rebuke, beginning with a very important meeting by two very important senators to a very important president.
2010, the year in rebuke.
The president will be with you shortly, Your Excellency.
We're not excellencies, we're just United States senators. No big deal.
Thank you, though, General. General,
Godwandji.
Of course.
So, Joe, any more thoughts about what we were talking about last night in Kabul?
Yeah, Hadassah and I talked about it when I called her from the hotel. She thinks and I agree that America's women wouldn't really envision themselves wearing robes like President Karzai's, even if we could get the rights.
No, I meant when we were talking about, you know, you coming over to our side of the aisle. Becoming a Republican. Joining the good guys.
Yeah, John, you know, I love you like a wonderful Goyish brother, but these last few years of being an independent, you know, it's been so liberating to not be taken for granted by anybody except my top few donors. You know, I tell you, thinking about it last night, I haven't felt so much like my own man since I took my first 100K check from the Hartford. So,
gentlemen, 1,000 apologies for keeping you waiting. Just some last-minute security precautions.
Well, Mr. President, we were all cleared, I think, but so nice to see you.
Mr. President, no new threats, I hope?
No, nothing like that. Just some, you know, last-minute sweep of my underwear.
Mm-hmm.
New people working at the laundry. Please resume being seated on my account.
Thank you.
You've been offered a tea?
Yes, sir. I brought my own Nescafe.
With the utmost of respect, I'm afraid it's trafe.
The Nescafe?
The tea.
Mm-hmm. Well, by my reckoning, in the time we've been engaging in small talk, two more American drone attacks have taken place on my country's territory.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen, you must realize that this sort of thing renders the entire idea of Pakistani sovereignty some sort of sad joke, like our Iraqi friends.
Mr. President, I'm kind of known back home for what we call straight talk, so let me give you a little taste of it right now. You know, we're all big fans of Pakistani sovereignty. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Senator Lieberman agrees with me that in ordinary times it's a principle that deserves the utmost of respect.
Absolutely.
But these aren't ordinary times, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And with the utmost of respect, if your country is harboring terrorists who are plotting attacks against my country, your sovereignty may well be collateral damage right along with the civilians that they're also using as shields.
If there are any civilians,
right.
You know as well as we do, Mr. President, that there are no civilians in this kind of war. And by the way, there are no atheists in foxholes either.
I think a few atheists in the tribal areas would make our job a little easier, sir. They don't tend to make good suicide bombers.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on the atheists, Mr. President. Last time I checked, the good people at the Hanoi Hilton were atheists. I think Joe's point is that we can only really rely on the Christians and the Jews and, of course, the good kind of Muslims, whichever those happen to be. You, of course, know best.
Exactly. And that's where our sovereignty comes into this. Your intelligence people need to give us their information and their drones so that we can filter that information through our own much deeper knowledge of the area along with the $2 billion we've requested, which would enable us to read your intelligence and fly your drones. And I don't think I need to point out, spend a lot of it back in your country to purchase some much-needed weaponry.
No, I know.
There wouldn't be nearly as much anger against the collateral damage, you see, if we were inflicted by drones remote-controlled by a Pakistani lieutenant.
Well, Mr. President, let me just give you a little more straight talk right here. Mm-hmm. Since our Predator drone aircraft are, as you rightly pointed out, remote-controlled, how the hell does any freaking villager sitting on his dusty butt in South Waziristan know who's controlling it? You know, why don't you just hold a big press conference and announce that your people have been given operational remote control of the drones, and otherwise we'll just leave things just the way they are?
The analogy would be, you know, you don't think if you go to my Facebook account that it's actually me updating my status, do you?
Yeah,
same type deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it is really you on Twitter, isn't it?
Well, I don't want to necessarily say one way or the other.
In the meantime, Mr. President, we're trying like hell to flood the zone here, and your people seem to be playing keep away with the visas. That's not the kind of cooperation we expect from our strategic partners, who, last time I checked, are not getting $2 billion extra dollars a year just to hire more visa clerks.
I think what John's trying to say here, Mr. President, is that we need you to help us to help you, as well as needing you to help us, period.
Well, I must say, gentlemen, it's good to be needed. But, Senator McCain, when you say your government is trying to put these people in a flood zone, mm-hmm. our problem is that so many of our countrymen believe that you are trying to fill our nation with your spies. And that, of course, just makes it that much harder for us to fill our nation with our own spies.
You know, what about if we split the difference and sent in Israeli operatives? They don't exactly look Pakistani, but they don't exactly look American either, so...
You know, President Sadari, we did indulge in a little bit of what I like to call straight talk with President Karzai. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's appropriate here as well. It doesn't help our cause, and it doesn't really help your cause, to have a corrupt government trying to run this country. Break it down real simple. Mm-hmm. If there's something you need, mm-hmm. we can probably put something together from a donor base we both have access to. Just, you know, keep it clean on this end, and maybe we have a chance to win this damn war.
And my friend John knows a little something about winning wars, you know, Mr. President.
I appreciate that very much, Senator Lieberman. But you both need to understand that becoming more dependent on the United States is not exactly the best thing for my continued political or physical health.
Of course we understand that, Mr. President, and we understand the need for discretion and deniability and all the rest of it. You know, the checks can just as easily be made out to cash.
Gentlemen, I've said this to your ambassador, to your Secretary of State, to your National Security Advisor. Might as well say it to you. To my country, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are just two of the threats we face. We also have a nuclear neighbor. They would love to push us out of the subcontinent and into the sea. In 15 years, we'll still be here, and so will our neighbor. And your country?
Mr. President, I can say on the highest authority that the United States is in the AFPAC region to stay. Never again will we do what we did in Afghanistan in 1989 and lose interest in this vital part of the world.
It might look like we're withdrawn, you know, for the folks back home, but we'll have a presence here. We'll be as much a part of your neighborhood as the Indians or the Chinese or the Russians or the Turks.
The Turks aren't really in our neighborhood.
Don't forget the Turks. Screw the Turks.
And if ever, for domestic political reasons, we actually might have to withdraw our people from this region, we're always as close as Japan.
Gentlemen, I've taken too much of your time. Enjoy the rest of your stay, or if you're leaving right away, enjoy your security experience.
Take good care.
So, what do you think, Joe?
You know, I just don't want to find myself co-hosting a fundraiser with Sarah Palin.
I mean about this little conversation. Useful? Helpful?
John, and I say this as a brother who loves you very much. Maybe just a little too much straight talk.
You think?
Just a hunch. Mm. Look, let's get back to the hotel before they shut off the cable for the night.
Good deal. That really isn't you on Facebook?
No, sir.
And it's not me on Twitter. Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, this week, Reverend Pat Robertson, still Reverend of this 700 Club, came out against the severity of criminal sentences for marijuana users, saying that it was ruining young people. His television network then had to sort of walk back the cat with an announcement that Dr. Robertson did not call for the decriminalization of marijuana. He was advocating that our government revisit the severity of existing laws. Dr. Robertson is unequivocally against the decriminalization of marijuana. He had another statement earlier this year to explain his statement that the devastating earthquake in Haiti might have been caused by that island's long-time pact with the devil.
700 Club, Robertson.
Pat, good work.
Well, thank you, but who's this? I didn't get a thing from my assistant with your name.
So. That's strange. I did give my name. It's Mr. Zebub.
Mr. Zebub.
Mm-hmm.
It does ring a bell.
First name might help.
Huh?
Beale.
Oh, well, of course. Silly me, I didn't recognize your voice, your lordship.
You would never do, and I never change it for you.
Well, in fairness, Mr. Zebub, I do hear a lot of voices in the course of a day.
Of course you do. That's part of our deal. You get worldwide television exposure on a daily basis, and in return, you have to hear all the voices I put in your head, purely for my own amusement.
Well, I got the deal on paper right here in the drawer. I don't need to
be reminded of its terms. No, of course you don't. It's as good as the paper it once was written on.
Well, I'm honored as always by the call, but I do have more disaster victims to blame for their fate, so...
So why am I calling? You dare to ask me, the Lord of the Dark Side, why I might be calling you?
Well, I know it may seem a little presumptuous, but...
No, not at all. The Satanic Realm is now operating with a new policy of full transparency. So happy to get to the point.
Oh, good.
Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick.
Yes, sir.
Patman. Dude.
Yeah.
I'd call you Reverend, but in the circumstances it seems excessively ironic.
Yes, sir.
I very much appreciate you connecting the disaster in Haiti with the little agreement I negotiated with the Haitian people 2 centuries ago.
Well, I just thought it helped to fulfill the publicity part of our agreement.
Oh, it did. It did.
Good.
It's just that, and I don't know how to say this, your old devil's not that good at the humility bit. But the earthquake in Haiti really was none of my doing at all.
Really?
Wish I could take credit for it, but I had my hands full all week with the Conan and Jay thing at NBC. This was all the other guy's work.
Well, I've already had my office issue kind of a modified limited explanation of my statement, you know, just to stop the donations from completely drying up.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want me to issue a full retraction, do you? I mean, that could damage both our brands.
No, you're right. Not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Just FYI.
Mm-hmm.
Need to know that
okay.
sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Oh, that and just a friendly reminder that your rent on Regent University is due on the 15th, promptly. Hate to see a lovely Christian law school suffer a devastating fire.
Oh, absolutely. No, you know, just some office problems. We'll get it right out. And thanks for being so understanding.
Hey.
Yeah?
It's my job. It really isn't, but I'd like to say that. You take care, Pat.
You too, Mr. Zebub, sir.
Hello, America. I'm Glenn Beck. You know, I'm just like you. I mean, yes, I'm a multimillionaire recovering alcoholic celebrity, but like you, I used to read lots of books. And afterward, I'd realize something. For maybe 10 hours of reading, I'd end up with 5 minutes worth of useful information. Not so smart, huh? That was my problem until one day I met a brilliant inventor businessman, Strom Philpott, who introduced me to the greatest advance in reading comprehension since... I don't really know another advance in reading comprehension like this. I guess that's because I'm stupid. Or maybe it's because this one is the magic blackboard. Sure, you've seen it on my show, because ever since I discovered it, I can't live or speak without it. Now, I'm no scientist, but neither is Strom Philpott. Here's how the magic blackboard works. It uses sophisticated text precognition software to boil down any piece of writing to its simple, gut-grabbing essence. So, before you go to bed at night, you attach the patent-pending scanning device to the spine of the book you wanted to read. Don't worry, the more complicated the book, the more magic the magic blackboard has. The scanner connects with a standard USB cable into your magic blackboard. You call it a night. When you wake up next morning, the entire thrust of the book has been boiled down to easy-to-understand lines and shapes, with a few keywords to get you going. And presto, you're a regular Dr. Gene Scott. Now, let me be entirely honest with you. If this technology was displayed on sophisticated digital screens, it would probably cost thousands of dollars. But because it uses a silly, old, low-tech blackboard, I promise you it'll set you back less than an autographed copy of my latest book. That's right. The blackboard you see me use every night on TV can now be yours. Now, I'm not saying it'll make you a multimillionaire TV celebrity. But then again, hey, I did used to be just like you. Come on, America. Follow me to the rest of the pitch.
The Glenn Beck Magic Blackboard can be yours for just 3 payments of $19.99 for the first payment and $39.99 for the next 2 payments, except for the third. Specify blackboard or green board when you order. But hurry. This special TV offer can't last forever. When this shipment of Glenn Beck Magic Blackboards is exhausted, there won't be any more till the next shipment. So order now. Call the number on your screen. Or if you've got no screen, call the number on your radio. But call now.
Goodbye, America. I'm going to go stare at my magic blackboard. I really hope I see you there.
This is Le Show. The Year in Rebuke is what's on display this week. And early this year, former Vice President Dick Cheney was sort of a one-man attack squad going up against the policies, particularly the foreign policy, of President Obama. It was a performance that was cut short, at least for the moment, by Cheney's more recent recurrence of heart trouble. But earlier in the year, it appeared, at least to him, that he stood alone against the new president.
2010, the year in rebuke.
Next, intimate tales of America's former underground vice president, the action-packed diary of the man who was just a heartbeat away from history.
Dick Cheney.
Confidential.
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 Who was it that said nothing focuses the mind like a fifth heart attack? Maybe it was Larry King. Maybe it was me. I probably wasn't paying attention. No doubt, as at the time of the Vietnam War, I had other priorities. But lying in that hospital bed, medicated up to my eyeballs, I had dreams. Awful dreams. Dreams of dying. Not real death, mind you. Just my speech going over poorly at the Conservative Political Action Committee conference. Although, in point of fact, I hadn't died there. I'd killed. Even had them chanting, "Run, Dick, run." Yet, there I was, leaving the hospital. Lucky I could even walk, Dick, walk. Funny how, just when you're ready to swing for the fences, life throws you curveballs. Maybe the guy said nothing who focuses your mind like swinging too hard at curveballs. In any case, there I am in the secure, undisclosed den, laid out flatter than a dead buck on a Cherokee's roof rack, enjoying some of Lynn's fine nurturing foodstuffs. Lynn's the only woman whose kitchen skills improved after getting cooking tips from the Navy. And I'll admit it, all they could think of is, I'm out there all alone, defending the two-fisted policies that we put in place, while my erstwhile colleagues were about to gather for a reunion dinner to compare the size of their book deals. I didn't know whether they were playing me for a neocon sap, but I didn't intend to lie there just waiting to find out. My former constituent in chief, the fellow who cleverly let me pick myself as his supposed deputy, was in town for the reunion. I sent word that I was too sick to go to the party, but just well enough to see him on my turf. As I expected, he bought it as eagerly as fresh intel from Ahmed Chalabi. He was coming over for coffee, but he was about to get creamed. Wednesday, 3:17 p.m.
So, Chainster, like I said in the photo op, looking good there, buddy.
Yeah, could be worse, Mr. President.
Sure could. Could be your sixth heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Guess I shouldn't joke about heart attacks so soon after, you know, the thing.
Oh, I wouldn't worry about it, sir. The only thing that really upsets my cardiovascular apple cart is stress.
Well, heck, Chainster, you're out of office. If my experience is anything to go under, stress ended January 20th last year.
Mm-hmm.
Cute story. I'm writing about that very day right now for my book. Mm-hmm. You know, my ghostwriter and I are talking about how nice the French ambassador was to me the day I left office. Mm-hmm. And I said to my writer, I said, you know, the trouble with the French is they don't have a word for memoir. And he said, you know, Mr. President, I think they do.
You know, Mr. President, it's been only a year, and I forget. How do you like your coffee?
Boiling hot. I guess I shouldn't joke about coffee so soon after.
You know, I'm sure you understand how stressful it's been taking all the flack when I go out on television or into the print media to promote the robust approach to defending this country that you so wisely bought into.
Well,
I mean, put yourself in my shoes. You look around and you realize, hey, I am the only guy in this foxhole.
Well, sure, out in West Texas, the only guys in foxholes are foxes.
Not to diminish the perspicacity of your response, Mr. President, I happen to be referring to the military type of foxhole.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Sir Dick. I wouldn't know anything about that, and now that I mention it, neither would you. Mm. But, see, I just felt as though to where if you could sell that policy to me, see, you were the fella to sell it to the American people, especially through the rear-view mirror hindsight type deal. Sure am looking forward, speaking of that, to seeing old John Bolton at the reunion. I have a bet with Laura that his mustache is even bigger now that he's out of...
Sorry to interrupt your gripping rodomontade, sir, but I got a train to catch, so I thought an enhanced persuasion technique might be appropriate. There you go.
Oh, geez, Dick. I had no idea you were strong enough to waterboard somebody single-handed.
Well, sir, after 5 heart attacks, you figure out the steroid dosage it takes to rouse me. Now, sir, about me being out there all alone.
Well, now, Chainster, you're not alone. Good old John Hughes giving interviews like he's on a damn book tour.
He is on a book tour. Hmm. And B, he's trying to keep his chiny hiney from being prosecuted.
I see. Unlike, who exactly?
Sir, let's recall, I was just your vice president.
Yeah, well, that's one thing nobody's gonna...
Just a few moments to drink in the implications. There we go.
Damn. You're like Sammy Sosa on steroids. Now, look, Dick, I'm sorry, but I just can't join you in this little crusade. I got a book to write. Or at least I got a book to watch while it's being written.
Mr. President, I've got a book to write. Hell, everybody at that reunion except the waiters has got one. Mm. I'm going to need you to step up to the plate on this particular account. and I've got a wet washcloth and a steroid-enhanced arm that says you're going to do precisely that. Otherwise, if you're inclined to go French on me...
No, that's okay. It's all the same to you. I'd rather not go through that again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about the French is they don't even have a word for déjà vu. So what do you need? Is it something maybe Jeb can do?
I'm going to need you to do a discreet number of interviews endorsing my leadership of the Obama Defacement Program. You know, amazingly enough, sir, you still have a great reservoir of goodwill among some of the American people. Just a simple endorsement of my enhanced opposition techniques could be profoundly helpful.
Chainster, you drive a hard bargain.
No bargain involved, sir.
No coffee either, apparently.
Yeah. Funny thing about the coffee. Hated to go all noir on my former constituent-in-chief. But that's the thing about the French. They don't even have a word for noir. And a partial diary for late February 2010. Sincerely yours, Dick Cheney. Confidential.
Confidential. Confidential.
The economy is tanking. The dollar is drowning. Stocks don't make me laugh. And by the way, I never laugh. I'm G. Gordon Liddy. And if you're as scared about the future as I am trying to make you, you know you can't trust your security to stocks or insurance or even precious metal. You have basic needs. And sure, you've probably already got a good stock of food and water. But what about air? Without it, breathing is virtually impossible. Yet, if you're like most people, you've probably assumed it would always be there. That's how I thought until 10 years ago, when I met the people at Crossland Oxygen, America's leading suppliers of fine investment-grade breathable air for home and family. Maybe you think you can't afford to keep a well-maintained 2-month supply of pure, breathable air at or near your home. But think about this. You can't afford not to. Crossland Oxygen obtains the finest oxygen and nitrogen on the market, blends them according to their own proprietary formula for maximum blood support, and then seals it in titanium tanks that make a great addition to any den or basement. Sure, other companies are rushing into the emergency breathable air business, but you can trust Crossland. After all, that's where I buy my breathable air. Don't leave your respiration to chance. That's the sound of breathing, no matter what happens. That's the sound of Crossland Oxygen.
This is Le Show, the year in rebuke. The year ended with the administration concluding in its Afghan-Pakistan review that, you know, we're making good progress. We've never heard that before. But it also ended with the revelation, thanks to WikiLeaks, of some dire or less than complimentary assessments by U.S. diplomats about the regime in Afghanistan. And earlier in the year, there was tension between the U.S. and President Karzai that broke into public when President Obama rescinded a dinner invitation to President Karzai temporarily.
We'll put the soup bowls where, Miss Janet?
We'll put them where we always do, Madam First Lady.
Oh, of course. Best place for them. I was just thinking out of the box for a moment.
Oh, they're definitely coming out of the box, Madam First Lady.
Oh, good. Good.
So, Rum.
Yes, sir.
Tell them again, we'll let them drill off the coast or not, whatever will get the senator's vote.
Mm-hmm.
And Bo needs to take care of his affairs.
Yes, sir.
Hi, honey. Hello, Miss Janet. Oh, sure hope we're putting those fancy dishes away.
Uh-oh. Sounds like he's thinking inside the box.
Honey, I know you're multitasking up the wazoo, but no. I know you didn't forget. We're rehearsing for President Karzai's dinner. It's only...
It's only not happening.
Oh, did he upset you again? Or did you upset him again?
Miss Janet, why don't you take an early 10?
Yes, sir.
Honey, this guy's an unreliable partner. You know, I'm beginning to regret ever deciding to go into business with him.
And, honey, you knew that when we first invited him, way back last month. You know, right before we started on a month's worth of preparations. I mean, I know it's her job and everything, but Miss Janet's going to take an early 10 hours when she hears this.
Can't help it. Have to send the guy a message that he's not welcome at the same table with Kitten and Princess. I mean, you heard he may have a problem being dependent on his country's main export, which his brother controls.
Okay, well, how about this? You cut out the middleman and give him his brother's phone number. And then he comes to the dinner.
Right, and just after the 7th toast, he starts being a little, you know, unhelpful. Well, thank you, Mr. President. A lovely toast. My daughters are very grateful for your kind words.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, thank you, young ladies. You know, I didn't recognize you without your burkas. You are going to school, aren't you? Still? But, no, I tell you, sir, you've got a fine team here.
Well,
Ambassador Holbrooke, he's sitting over there going, what's the matter with Karzai? Why doesn't he call me? And General Jones, how are you, sir? Yes, nice to see you. He's sitting over there going, somebody shut up the Afghan. But no, I kid the fine general that it must hurt to have to buy your uniforms at the big and fat store. No, I'm not forgetting you, Mrs. Clinton. Well, no, she's over there telling her BlackBerry, find Bill, find Bill. But seriously, I can't tell you how grateful I am to all of you. Well, mainly because I'm not. Oh. You call that an army? I'm serious. Who enlisted all the Schwarzes? No, I kid the fine African-American contingent. But, you know...
The toast turns into a roast, and before you know it, somebody's country ends up running out of the room crying.
Not me. I'd pay $50 to sit ringside.
Well, he's disinvited. That's final. Now...
Daddy, they're at it again. Justin in soccer out class says you've sold out your principles.
Oh, that's okay, Princess. What did you tell him?
I told him you were always a pragmatic centrist, but he just laughed at me. And then I said you only approved oil drilling in certain areas to win the votes of senators in those areas for the climate change bill, not because you're tool of oil companies. Then he started yelling, offshore dealing, and then discussion time was over.
Oh, sweetheart, I know it's rough to be my daughter. Hey, sometimes it's hard just being me.
And sometimes it's hard just being married to him.
But, Pumpkin, sometimes you've got to be willing to agree to appear to change your mind a little bit to get what you really want.
That's right, Princess. Like, we really want your daddy's partner in Afghanistan to start cleaning up his act. So we change our mind about inviting him to dinner to make him feel grateful for something.
You know what, Princess?
What, Daddy?
Much as I hate to say it, your mom's right. Now, that's a change of mind I can believe in.
So, dish is coming back out. Miss Janet coming back in.
Come on, Princess. Help me brush up on my Pashtun chit-chat.
The Tea Party movement made big headlines this year, particularly when the results of the November election came in. Some wins, some losses, but a lot of publicity for the Tea Party. And the movement was explored in depth earlier this year by one of our public radio colleagues.
2010, the year in rebuke.
From CPR, Continental Public Radio, this is Up to Here. Up to Here, a daily once-over, not-so-lately, on the story at the top of what's behind today's news. I'm Milton Getzler, sitting in for Alegria Del Fuego Godoy, who's on assignment. No two words sum up the current American political scene better than Tea Party. From the angry rallies last August against the health care plan, the Tea Party movement has grown into a large and growing movement, a series of meetings, marches, and at least one convention. There have been several different organizations springing up under the name, including Tea Party Patriots, the Tea Party Express, the Tea Party Revolution, and in Florida, Tea by the Sea. A leader of a relatively new organization in the movement is with us today to get us up to here. James Claypool is chairman of the original Tea Party organization, or OTPO. Mr. Claypool, welcome to Up to Here.
Well, we don't trust or respect the mainstream media, Mr. Getzler, but it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I imagine that's more than we could have hoped for, Mr. Claypool. Would it be correct to call your organization a splinter group from the main Tea Party movement?
No, it would not, but you go right ahead and slap that label on us if it pleases your paymaster.
Well, for the moment at least, we'll call it what you'd like us to call it.
We are constitutionalists, not compromisers. We believe in reading first documents literally. Whether it's God in the Bible or the founders in the Constitution, we believe they meant what they said. If you understand the progressive movement, you understand that interpretation is a Marxist tool. So in terms of the political side of our movement, if it isn't in the Constitution, it wasn't put in there for a very good reason. Don't you be interpreting it in there, whether you're a Supreme Court justice or a pundit on TV.
Sounds quite fundamentalist.
Well, I know you intend that to be a slur, Mr. Getzler, but I'll accept that label happily. We do need to go back to fundamentals. What is it you hear whenever a professional athletic team is having a losing streak? The coach says, quote, in our practices, we're going back to the fundamentals. You don't hear most coaches being called fundamentalists, unquote.
But that would suggest, by your logic, would it not, that sports reporters have different paymasters from news people?
If that premise wasn't to where I spoke it and what I just said, it would not be suggested. It wasn't suggested. And if it was suggested, it would be moot.
You took issue with the health care reform and the bank bailouts.
And with the level of taxation and government meddling in our lives. We've lost so many of our freedoms already, and the plan is just in its early stages of being carried out.
What freedoms exactly have you lost?
Are you kidding? The government not only is now telling me I have to buy health insurance, they're telling me there are certain cars I cannot buy.
Such as?
All those Toyota models they pulled off the market. All that hamburger meat, too.
Well, they were unsafe, according to the government.
And tomorrow they could decide that this program's unsafe.
So you oppose all safety regulation by the federal government?
You can look in the Constitution until the cows are blue in the face, and you will not find the word safety mentioned once in there, not one time. I will pay $10,000 cash money. Anybody can find the word safety in the United States Constitution.
So you would have, going back to perhaps the first product recall of the modern era, you would have fought for the right to purchase Bon Vivant canned vichyssoise contaminated with botulism?
Well, I question whether any American would choose to buy a product called Bon Vivant anything. So, yes, if somebody wanted to do that, I think they should be free to take the consequences. There's nothing in the Constitution about botulism. It's been interpreted in, and that's why we're in the mess we're in today.
All right, you're leading a protest against a different government program this week.
That's correct. The original Tea Party organization, or OTPO, believes that this current occupant of the White House and announcing a big new program for the space agency has he's inadvertently tipped his hand.
And in fact, you're holding an anti-space program rally near Cape Canaveral this coming Wednesday?
Yes, sir. It's the Houston We Have a Problem Day, and we hope to be able to claim that thousands of people showed up to demonstrate that we're tired of having our tax dollars stolen to pay for programs that the founders of this country would never have approved. You can't imagine Thomas Jefferson calling for a program to build a vehicle to visit an asteroid.
any more than you can imagine God waking up one morning and saying, "Oh, I have to bestow some new rights on mankind. I totally forgot about the gays."
So you think because the words outer space aren't mentioned in the Constitution.
Exactly. And so we'll be having some excellent speakers. Bristol Palin has indicated conceptual willingness to attend. And since Florida's an open carry state, we'll be bringing plenty of firearms.
You said earlier you thought the administration is tipping his hand when the president announced a new direction for the space program away mm-hmm. from moon landings. Mm-hmm. What exactly did you mean?
Did any of you folks in your editorial meetings ever ask yourselves, why does this so-called president suddenly decide the moon is off limits? The Chinese are going there. The Indians are going there. What doesn't he want Americans to find on the moon? Now, I don't think any of us knows for sure, but could it be the ancestral home of the so-called Obama family? I personally can't think of another reason
You're suggesting that President Obama was not born on this planet?
No. See, the difference between Tea Party people and media folks like you is that I am open to the possibility of seeing things a different way. That doesn't mean I've closed my mind to the possibility that he could have been born on this planet. Mm-hmm. But up to and including this very moment, none of us, including you people, have seen any proof that he was born on this planet. Or if so, you've been deliberately withholding it for some reason, maybe just to keep the subject of his planetary home from even entering the conversation, which is interesting.
You think there's evidence of his ancestry on the lunar surface that could be found by astronauts?
That's a trick question. Maybe on the surface, maybe buried under the dust. I am not an astrophysicist. I'm just a taxpayer who's tired of being lied to.
Finally, Mr. Claypool, some Tea Party organizations have had links to noted Republicans. Some groups have gotten funding from FreedomWorks, which is headed by former House GOP Majority Leader Dick Armey.
All right, now look, if you're suggesting that the official Tea Party organization, or OPTO, is not profoundly grass-rooted, you just may be putting a target on your own back. Let me say this. Any group of patriots that needs a Dick Armey behind them won't have me standing in front of them.
James Claypool from the original Tea Party organization.
Or OTPO.
Or OPTO. Thanks for getting us up to here. We had help today from the Center for Priorities. Let's get started. And from the Corn Syrup Foundation. Corn syrup, it's what's for life. I'm Milton Getzler. Join us next time we get you up to speed, up to the minute, up to here. This is CPR, Continental Public Radio.
More of the Year in Rebuke in a moment, but first, the apologies of the week.
Sorry.
First, just because I really enjoy saying his name, the president of FIFA, the worldwide federation governing soccer, Sepp Blatter, has apologized for his remarks that gay fans should abstain from sex during the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. Make your plans now. Blatter told journalists in Abu Dhabi that he was sorry if anyone was offended by his comments in South Africa, where he said gay visitors should refrain from any sexual activities while in Qatar, because of the Gulf nation's strict laws against homosexuality. It was not my intention and never will be my intention to go into any discrimination, Blatter said. This is exactly what we're against. If somebody feels that they've been hurt, then I regret it and present apologies. That's an if. In a recent string of tweets, former Major League Baseball slugger Jose Canseco has apologized for writing his book, has begged for another chance at the big leagues, and insisted that steroids are overrated. Quote, "I guess I wrote the book juiced out of blind anger because baseball was taken away from me. I am truly sorry for that." The Gap has apologized for incorrect signage in some stores that led to allegations the clothing retailer was passing off bags produced in China as products that were made in the USA. The mega retailer is fixing signs in stores and online to ensure that customers are not led to believe that in denim Feed USA bags, the sales of which benefit the anti-hunger charity Feed Projects, were made in the U.S. FBI Director Robert Mueller has apologized to a Sikh American civil rights and advocacy organization for remarks linking Sikh Americans to terrorism at an intelligence conference way back in October. The apology came in response to a letter of concern from the Sikh American Legal Defense and Education Fund. The long-distance online service Skype has apologized. Millions of users worldwide suffered a service outage lasting for hours on Wednesday. The apology came from Skype's official blogger. There's a job you didn't know about in high school. Peter Parks. An apology on behalf of the company. The outage was reportedly caused by super nodes, not supermodels, ladies and gentlemen, don't get excited, of the service going down due to unspecified reasons. Super nodes are computers of other users being used in the peer-to-peer system of the service to let other users connect. Supermodels don't actually exist. Dateline Melbourne, Australia, on Thursday apologized to Indian Dr. Mohammed Hanif for wrongly detaining him on terror charges 3 years back, saying it was a mistake and hoped the compensation paid to him will mark the end of an unfortunate chapter. The Australian Federal Police acknowledges it was mistaken. Dr. Hanif was innocent of the offence of which he was suspected, the Australian government said in a public apology in an indeterminate accent. The Commonwealth apologises and hopes the compensation to be paid to Dr. Hanif will mark the end. Enabled Dr. Hanif to move forward with his life and career. Hanif is a cousin of Sabil Ahmed, the main accused person in the failed attack on Glasgow International Airport in 2007. He was charged with recklessly giving support to a terrorist organization when his mobile phone SIM card, which he'd left with his cousin, was linked to the attack. His 12-day detention was the longest without charge in recent Australian history. Conan O'Brien showed a spoof clip this week of Sarah Palin hunting Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The very next day, he apologized to late-night host Jimmy Kimmel after discovering Kimmel had done a similar joke 2 weeks earlier. "We weren't aware," said Conan. Meaning, nobody at the Conan staff watches Jimmy Kimmel. They should hire David Prather. Badly Drawn Boy. Oh, Nick Harcourt should really read this. Badly Drawn Boy has issued a statement on his official Facebook page apologizing for his behavior at last Thursday's show. During the concert, he held choice four-letter words at fans and threatened to end his career. His show was the second of two nights at the Troubadour in West Hollywood. The concert marked the last stop of a two-week U.S. tour and the last show of the year for Badly Drawn Boy, whose real name is Damon Guff. His interaction with the crowd that night was described by various blogs as an onstage meltdown and a massive tantrum. Footage captured during the show posted to YouTube showed Guff calling his fans four-letter words and repeatedly telling the crowd to F off. That YouTube footage available only to listeners who call in a pledge. The singer thanked the fans that stuck it out. During his rant to see the entire show, "I don't feel an apology to those who heckled, but I want to profusely apologize to those caught in the crossfire, especially a guy who had to leave with his young daughter and all of you who stuck by me to help turn things around." He also apologized to the troubadour and to the venue's staff. And that apology will also be available on our website. Thank you, Nick. Shamefaced Dr. Drew Pinsky has issued a public apology to Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie after saying the couple were headed for a nuclear split. Pronounced Jolie. Jolie? Jolie. The celebrity rehab star claims his comments were taken out of context and he never intended the general public should hear them. He went on to admit he didn't know anything about the superstar couple and his comments were entirely unfounded. "I do not know Brad or Angelina," he said, "and I certainly don't want to be saying things that could be perceived as hurtful for them or harmful for them in any way. I'm deeply concerned and apologetic and apologize for these comments that were taken out of context." He caused controversy earlier this week when he suggested that Angelina Jolie was still addicted to heroin. He said, quote, "Just to add up a couple things, there's no such thing as I was a heroin addict. That doesn't exist in nature. Something is going on with her addiction, or she's in recovery, and I don't see any evidence that's the case." He added, "They're constantly creating things to weld themselves together, which is only going to serve to make a more nuclear eruption." Unquote. Now he's backtracking on his comments, saying he was merely talking in a hypothetical exercise using Jolie and Pitt as examples. "I could not be more upset and disturbed these things were printed as though I were making some sort of categorical analysis of people I don't really know," said the celebrity rehab star, which, by the way, doesn't exist in nature either. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. In August of this year, President Obama announced the end of the Iraq War, to the surprise of the Iraqis, of course, and to the delight of the Americans, especially when we learned shortly thereafter that we had spent in the neighborhood, and it's a nice neighborhood, of $1 trillion on the conflict.
Saddam statue toppled, a fine checks. The zone's international. No longer green. An ethnic cleansing got the place real clean. Yes, it's a
And, of course, the war in Afghanistan continued, subject to much debate, some of it in a secret telephone conversation made public this year as part of a pseudo-marital dispute.
You freaking think counterinsurgency makes one freaking shred of sense?
I think General Petraeus has a chance of making it work. General Petraeus wrote the book on counterinsurgency tactics.
I'll tell you what book he wrote. He wrote the book on being an a-hole! A freaking a-hole! That's the book he wrote. How dare you tell me he wrote the book?
He wrote a manual on counterinsurgency.
Hell, the only old counter you should be talking about is the one you're working behind when you're not giving me freaking lip service!
My point is simply we should give his strategy a chance. The whole contingent of troops for the surge isn't even there yet.
You wouldn't know counterinsurgency strategy if it kept kicking and screaming out of your freaking pancreas.
That's not true.
Have you ever heard of the freaking special forces?
Yes.
Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler, Ballard of the Green Berets, does that ring a stupid freaking bell?
You're talking nonsense. I'm trying to talk strategy.
Oh, I'll talk strategy. All right. You want to talk strategy? Here's some strategy, Missy. We drop 2,000 Delta Force mothers over there and we walk away. Finito! Basta! That's all she freaking wrote! Do you understand me?
What I understand is that we either do this now or we do it 30 years from now.
You know what you sound like?
What?
You want to know what you sound like?
What?
You sound like Walt Whitman freaking Rostow, you whore. Sound like Henry freaking Kissinger, you cow. We have no freaking national interest in being in freaking Afghanistan. Do you understand me?
I understand you. I disagree with you.
You don't disagree with me. You're too stupid to disagree with me. You think you disagree with me.
So you're saying let the warlords just take over again?
They've taken over. They took over. What do you read? Just the freaking ads in freaking Foreign Affairs?
I read the articles.
You don't read the articles! You don't even look at the pictures!
There are no pictures.
Excuse for not having a policy of counterterrorism, except that you and your friends think it's fun to spend my money building a freaking nation out of a freaking mountain range full of freaking opium weavers and carpet smokers!
You're losing the thread of the argument.
I have never lost the thread of any argument! When we argued about whether the Fed should end its easy money policy, I never once lost a freaking thread. You did! You even forgot Ben Bernanke's freaking name, you whore!
You said you thought we were in danger of inflation, which is absolutely untrue.
Because you're saying it!
No.
Have you seen my Nexus Lexus bill? You think it hasn't gone up in the past 2 years since I've had to be informed enough to have a freaking conversation with you? Yellow me!
Do you want to get back to the subject of counterinsurgency?
It cannot work. It won't work. It never worked. It will never work. You'll work before it works, you blood-sucking sponge hole!
And I disagree.
Fine! Don't you dare hang up.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude part one of 2010, the year in rebuke. There may be a part two next week. Only way to find out is to tune in right here, same time, on these same stations, on NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USN 440 cable system in Japan, on the around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world, via the internet, on your computer at two different locations, live at archive.harryshearer.com and kcrw.com, available on your smartphone through stitcher.com, available as a free podcast at kcrw.com. And it'd be just like starting fresh all over again if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much, A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago in exile, and Hawaii desks. And thanks, as always, to Pam Holstead. The show is on Twitter, at The Harry Shearer. The email address for this broadcast and the playlist of music heard here on, relentlessly available at harryshearer.com. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. Happy New Year, everybody.